and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon from lead pastor Jamie Miller.
How's everybody doing? All right. Lord, help my throat. I love the testimonies. I just love that. I love hearing about life in the church. Ross and Nicole, thank you, wherever you're sitting. That was really wonderful. Super encouraging to me personally. And it's helpful, even like this morning, we're starting into a new series. And it's all kind of connected to this word that we've got for the year, for the movement, is a multi-generational family on mission. And so what we've done so far this year is we've looked at Colossians and talked about sharing his life together. And then Palm Sunday, Easter. And now we're kind of continuing in that same thread because Colossians and Philemon go together. And so Philemon is kind of a look at what does resurrection family look like? And there's some huge implications for us. And I'm excited to look at this. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about family life, family identity, family priorities. That's like ethics and actions, what we do and how we live. And putting all of this in the context of just learning to read the Bible together. What does a document that's a letter that's 2,000 years old now have to speak to us in our contemporary context right here in 2024, right? And it does. It really does. And I do want to say we've had some great prayers just coming into this morning. And one of the things, when we hear the word family, you know, sometimes that has different meanings and different whether we had a great family, nuclear family, or whether it was broken and we had a hard family. God is in what he loves to do is bring us into his love and adopt us. And especially that part of our hearts that needs the love of God. And I need it this morning. I felt like I was just kind of, sometimes in prayer there, I just feel like I'm carried into being with you guys. And that was one of those mornings this morning. But I've been praying, Father, tell me about your love for me. And Father, tell me about your love for my brothers and sisters here in the church. And we need to hear this. I want to give more value to Philemon maybe than what we've given in the past to it. Philemon is not a stepchild to Colossians, if that makes sense. It's not relegated over here. I've been kind of thinking about it like Colossians 5 this week. I mean, because it would have been read one right after the other. Colossians, same house church in Colossae, and then Philemon read next. Awkward, maybe? Probably. If you think about what this letter is about. And I think we distance ourselves from Philemon. We go, slavery is immoral. So in case you don't know, Philemon's about a slave being reunited with his master, but being asked to be set free, basically, is what Paul's doing. And it seems very personal. It's immoral, so we don't talk about it. I remember growing up, or being in ministry, one of the main things I remember about Philemon is Philemon 1. There's only one. It's a joke. There's not a 2, but Philemon 1:6 was kind of an evangelism verse. I pray that you would be in the NIV 84. So I'm 2011. I made the shift a couple of years ago to out of 84. It's more than you needed to know. I pray that you'd be active in sharing your faith so that you would know every good thing that we have in Christ. So it was like, go share your faith, and then you'll know more of what you've got in Christ. So it's a good evangelism verse. And we're going to be looking at that, but it's, I pray that your partnership with us. So it's a word there. The word is actually koinonia. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But it's a word here about loving and forgiving. But how does that connect to us right now? And we have to hold on to Colossians while we're reading Philemon. Philemon is not a standalone. They just read, have just read Colossians. So it's in the light of Colossians. And what is going on in Colossians? High, super high view of Jesus, right? High and lifted up. That Christ hymn there in Colossians 1, 15 to 20, which is, you know, Jesus is the creator. He's the redeemer. He's the reconciler. And he lives in us. And he's the hope for everything being made right. We've been rescued out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And so we proclaim him. We proclaim Jesus. He is the reality above all other philosophies and things. And so it's into that context of Jesus being the truth, the way, the life, the indicative of what God has done on our behalf before we could ever do anything. And then the imperative is we're called to live holy lives, turn away from sin, to walk in right relationship with one another as brothers and sisters in the family and in the body of Christ. So what's at stake in writing Philemon to this letter from Paul? What's at stake? Well, it could be punishment for Onesimus, the runaway slave. It could be prison, and it might even could possibly be death. You know, all of those things are at play here, and so it's a really important letter. And I would even say that this letter helped to change the world, because Onesimus would go on to become a great bishop of the church in Ephesus. Ignatius of Antioch, where we get, that's our namesake church there, the multi-ethnic epicenter church. So Ignatius was challenged by the Emperor Trajan, the Roman emperor, when he came through Antioch to deny Jesus Christ as Lord and to proclaim that Caesar is Lord. Ignatius, as an old bishop of Antioch, wouldn't do it. He was basically blessed by Peter, who had been the previous bishop there, so tradition says. So Ignatius is the bishop. He won't say Caesar is Lord. And so Trajan's taking him from Antioch to Rome to be eaten by wild beasts. And so on the way there, he stops. It takes a long time to get there. And he stops in Smyrna, and he writes a bunch of different letters that we have, a lot of those letters, even today. And so this is a quote. Can you have my glasses? This is a quote from Ignatius. He's writing to the Ephesian church about 50 years after Colossians and Philemon was written to the church in Colossae and to Philemon. Ignatius says to the Ephesian church, "I received, therefore, your whole multitude in the name of God through Onesimus, a man of inexpressible love, and your bishop in the flesh, whom I pray you by Jesus Christ to love, and that you would all seek to be like him. And blessed be he who has granted unto you being worthy to obtain such an excellent bishop." Praise the Lord. You know, that whatever happened here led to the church in Ephesus being built up and strengthened and encouraged. And so we come to reading Philemon here, and I want us to just imagine what's going on. At the end of Colossians, Paul says, "I'm sending Tychicus to you." He's going to be the carrier of the letter, and Onesimus with him. So, you know, Paul has probably instructed Tychicus what to say, how to say it, how to emphasize, go really big on the Colossians 1:15 thing. He's the image of the invisible God. Say that with, like, you know, passion. Just, I'm imagining, you know. So, main thing. God is calling us to read Philemon. and think deeply about what it means to be a resurrection family together in Christ. So I want us to just, you know, use your imagination here for a bit before we read this. Imagine you're in the skin of Tychicus, who's traveling and going to present these letters to the church in Colossae. Or imagine you're in the skin of Onesimus, this runaway slave who's going back to his master. Or imagine you're in the skin of Philemon, who, when this letter starts being read, you know, if you've ever been set up like, hey, you're really awesome, and somebody's coming in with the question behind, but would you do whatever? You know, would you, you're so generous, and would you give $20,000 to this, you know, cause or whatever over here? So something like that. So Philemon's, he's getting set up, and they're there in the room. Colossians has just been read, and I imagine it's quiet as they get ready to read this letter. And all eyes are on Tychicus as he reads. And I want to encourage you, listen for what the Lord is highlighting to you as we read this letter together. If you would stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. Listen for love. Listen for healing. Listen for hope. Listen for reconciliation. Listen for the Father's love. Let's listen together. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, and also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. So maybe that's like his wife and son, maybe. And to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of everything good we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement. There's our word for this morning. Because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while, was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, and even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother. Yeah, I wonder, wouldn't that be interesting? I mean, we're listening like we're there. It's interesting. You owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ, confident of your obedience. I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. These are the words of God, and together we say, amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. So, Philemon. How did Paul meet Philemon? We don't know. But he obviously knows him. You know, maybe they've worked together somewhere in the past, maybe Ephesus. Philemon is a man of substance, large household, is able to refresh the saints, refresh the brothers and sisters, the church there, meets in his home. And so, you know, maybe Philemon was gone. Epaphras was the one who ends up planting the church there. So it's kind of interesting storyline when you get in there and work on it a little bit. But a couple of things I want to just point out, and then we'll move on to some, what does it look like? Because really, this whole letter is kind of what does it look like, right? This is kind of application of Colossians, right? There's no more slave or free, you know, Jew, Gentile. For Christ is all and is in all. So that's kind of, you know, what's going on here. So sharing the life of Christ would be the first thing I would say. The resurrection family is an implication of sharing the life of Christ together. So that's part of that we're working this thing out. They are sharing in his life together. That word there, partnership, is, like I said earlier, is koinonia. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. So koinonia is this idea. It's part of our vision statement as a church. All these years, our vision is to share and multiply the life of Christ in the church. It's to have koinonia together from God with each other for the sake of the world. So that's our vision, to share and multiply that life in disciples, in life groups that we were talking about this morning, and in the church itself, that we would be a reproducing, multiplying, Milgamerkma Flurhesic church. If you're visiting, I need to interpret that. A multi-ethnic epicenter, life-giving, multiplying, reproducing, Christ-manifesting, Father's love receiving, Holy Spirit-empowered church. Milgamerkma Flurhesic. There you go. Amen. And that's our life. You know, that's what we want to do. You think about koinonia. I put this in your sermon notes. You don't have to look them all up right now, but I did a Greek search of koinonia and pulled some of the references from the New Testament because it's translated in different ways. Fellowship, sharing, generosity. You know, those are marks of koinonia. They devoted themselves, Acts 2:42, to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, to fellowship, koinonia, and to prayer, being devoted to our life, shared life together. So all of that's happening. Some of the other key ideas there in the New Testament, sharing with people, end of 2 Corinthians 13:14, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the koinonia, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
Philippians, because of your partnership, your koinonia in the gospel from the first day until now, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the koinonia of his sufferings, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings together. Our eyes are on him. We're pressing on. We don't stay where we were. We're growing. We're not content to just stay and not grow up in Christ. And that's, this koinonia encourages us to do that. Don't forget to do good and to share with others. There you go, koinonia. 1 John, I love the 1 John ones, they're great. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship, our koinonia, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we've got this fellowship, and we want to share what we've got with you so that you can know the Father's love, right? So that's the first piece there, is sharing in his life. And he appeals to Philemon, not just do this because it's the right thing to do, but he says, I'm appealing to you on the basis of love. And we're going to talk more about next week about identity, but it's also because you're family now. Because you're brothers and sisters, you look at all of the family of God differently. You look at people differently that Jesus died for. We don't look at people the same way. And, you know, I know we're coming in with different struggles today. There's different things that are happening in our lives. Maybe a struggle with hope. We're down. We need some hope. And we need some love. We need to know His love so that we can give His, or we need His faith flowing in and through us. And it's the life of Jesus is the answer to all of that. And it's not you digging down and getting more hope. And it's not you digging down and getting more love. And it's not you digging down and getting more faith. What we need is Jesus. And as Isaiah said earlier, but the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Praise God. So I'm appealing to you, Philemon, on the basis of love. The love you've received, I want you to give. The life you've received, I want you to give. It's not forced. Again, remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Forced love becomes the opposite of that. So God doesn't force it. He gives us the dignity of responding to Him. Praise God. Amen. So another observation here is that it's reconciliation on the ground. So Jesus, I quoted the passage earlier, but Jesus is the creator, the redeemer, and the reconciler. And all things in heaven and on earth, this is what Colossians says, all things in heaven and on earth are going to be reconciled to God through the cross of Jesus Christ. Ephesians says the same thing. Everything in heaven and on earth is going to be brought to unity under the headship of Jesus Christ. These are powerful things we can't make happen, but what God is doing for us. And it's just massive good news. So Onesimus, you know, he's been changed. Verse 15, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. So Onesimus has changed. He's been reconciled to God. Philemon has changed. He's been reconciled to God. And now because they've both been reconciled to God, they are reconciled or called to reconcile to one another. That's how this thing works. That's what God is calling us to. It's the radical self-giving love of the cross reaches from God to the world and from the world to God. It's what Jesus has done. He's the great mediator, doing what we couldn't do on our own to respond to God. He's done on our behalf. And what God needs to speak to us is through Jesus. He is the living, active, visible word of God to which these words point. These scriptures point to the living word of God. And that's why a letter 2,000 years old in the power of the Holy Spirit together as the church, we can hear a word that's alive to us right now in this moment that addresses 2024 in the power of the Spirit. And so he's calling him to more than obedience. He's calling him to do this on the basis of love. And what does it look like? I suppose that's kind of the question of this whole series. What's it look like? Philemon, Onesimus, what does it look like to be the family of God, the resurrection family of God together? You know, even regular families can get into divisive places with each other, not to mention the body of Christ. Families, just nuclear families, opinions. If you got anybody in your family that has a different political view than you, is that possible? Maybe. Maybe. Sometimes you have to say, Time out. Do we have to rehearse that on this phone call? Kidding. Kinda. Yeah, yeah. I love my family. But our families, we're all over the place. Different backgrounds, different parts of the country, different kind of political perspectives. And the family of God is called to rise above and to love and to unity and to the shared life together. So, you know, one of the questions that we have a sermon planning team, and somebody said, you know, Jamie, don't just make it all about slavery. And there's things to talk through there. Even the heritage or the legacy of slavery is an important thing to talk through. But just I want to just back up a little bit and just say, what are the norms? So slavery was totally normal. 60% of the Roman population were slaves. So if you got into debt or something, you'd sell yourself for a while to pay off a debt. So it was kind of coming and going. It was a part of the economy, totally normal part of the economy. Whether that needed to change, it ultimately did. But it does make me ask the question, what is normal in our culture that God might be wanting us to see that slavery was as normal as like electricity or something, or driving a car to work, you know? And so what is that normal thing that we have trouble seeing that God wants us to see as we're reading Philemon? And to bring that up as those who share his life together. It's just a really important question. Because Jesus is Lord, put to death these things and live in this way, forgive, love, forgive as you've been forgiven in Christ. Live a life of prayer. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Be the umpire. You know, this is the way you live. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is Lord. So that's going to mean loving people in the church that are different from us, from me. Difference. Love for difference. ENTS. I got that phrase from Scott McKnight, great scholar. So let's just start, you know, we can't fix the world, but we can start with us, right here in the church. So love for difference from us, certainly in our backgrounds, our ethnicities, we're different. We have different places we come from and different ways we were raised, different nationalities and ethnicities, that kind of thing. So learning to love one another through that. Somebody, amen. What's another one? Economic situations. You know, so like when we're tempted to judge those rich people, or we're tempted to judge those that have less than us. You know, sometimes economic situations, economic differences can be even harder sometimes than ethnic differences, just depending on what our background is. You know, just that's a love for difference, ENTS. Educational situations, just look down on those really smart people that have too much education. I've known people that were prideful about not having education and sticking it to everybody. That's too raw, but that's another barrier that we have to overcome. How do we feel about different layers and levels of education? I remember back in the 90s when the church was pretty new. We had about a third homeschool, like it was full on, you know, just third public school, a third private school. And the interesting thing was, people like kind of opinionated about some of that, and like this is the right kind of way, and had to learn to love one another through strong opinions. You know, here's another one, is living in the aftermath of, this is what I was talking about earlier, of slavery. Like that means something. We have to figure out how to live in the aftermath of slavery, Jim Crow, civil rights, and all of the effect of that downline thing that has just so affected our country and still does in different ways. How do we love one another through that, through those differences? We're living, also learning to love differences, living in the aftermath of the ongoing struggle for women's value in our culture and even in the church. Yeah, I was listening to some, who was I listening to? I need to get tighter here to finish. It was Jim. Yeah, I encourage you guys, listen to Jim Reynolds' podcast, The Politics of Jesus, and he has some great pieces on Colossians and Philemon. But he was saying, you know, a number of years ago, even theologians that traditionally put women in a subservient role under men, those theologians started to change their perspective about that so that women could do things out in culture but oddly, still in the church, women are not always seen as co-equal image bearers. And so that's something we've got to live with and live through and encourage and build up and have value for, you know? So I think that's a practical thing for Philemon. Political ideologies over the family of God. Lord, have mercy. You know, like, please don't do that this year. You know, the Republican thing over the family of God, or the Democrat thing over the family of God. The Lord's gonna, we're going to get through it, and the country's not going to end if the person we want doesn't get elected. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. I've said it before. And a final thing here, too, about love for difference is Philemon had been wronged. You know, I mean, in that culture, he had been wronged. Maybe even something was stolen from him. Onesimus ran away. And even though he's a brother, it still required forgiveness. You know, and so each of these situations, he's appealing to him on the basis of love, that you might have him back forever, better than a slave, as a dear brother, better than a whatever offense we're carrying about somebody that's a brother or a sister, better than the way I look down on them or the way I've been wronged by them, but better than that, as a forgiven, loved brother or sister in the Lord. I think this message and this series is an awareness message. It's an awareness message. It's like one of the third word for Antioch Fort Worth is wake up, watch and pray. Lord, help us to wake up, to be alert to what you're saying to us in this time and in this place. Be aware what the Lord is asking us and from us and inviting us into, to forgive and to practice koinonia and love together as the resurrection family of God. That's who we are, right? Stand up. Amen. So we're going to take 5 minutes here for some prayer, just responding to the Lord, if the ministry team would come on. I think we hit it on just a number of different words that maybe somebody came in here really looking for a miracle. And sometimes a miracle is believing. It's receiving the Lord's faith again in our hearts. Sometimes it's receiving his hope that he's wanting to bring to us. Sometimes it's receiving his love. Whatever you came in with, a burden or an illness or something, please come and pray with someone. Just get prayer. Don't leave without getting prayer. And as we've talked about being wronged, Maybe it's brought up an issue, something that needs to, you push it down, but I've been wronged, and you push it down again. And let's pray through that. Just get some prayer with somebody that can help you. And if you need healing or to receive the love of God, that's, you know, if you're willing, and here's another one. If you're just willing to rethink with me, let's rethink maybe the ways that we've thought about people. Let's be learners. And you want to just get prayer for being a learner and wanting to grow. Whatever your place is, wherever you're at, come and get prayer. Let's press into the Lord. We love you, Lord. Shape us and mold us. Wake us up. Have mercy where we need it, Lord. We need it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's press in for a little bit here.